It's 12 p.m. and you're back listening to the Money Web at Midday Show with me, Warren Thompson, where we discuss all things moving markets and prices this Tuesday afternoon. President Uhuru Kenyatta is in the process of being inaugurated in Kenya as we speak, but we're going to be focused on company news and developments today. Coming up after the news bulletin, we will be discussing developments with our market commentator and independent analyst, Chris Gilmore. But before we do that, here's the news moving headlines. The news moving markets today, rather. Long4Life announced that it has acquired, with effect from the 1st of July, the entire issued share capital of Chill. Chill is a producer, packer, and distributor of beverages from storage and distribution facilities located in major cities across South Africa. Its core operations involve the production of Chill's own brands of non-alcoholic beverages, as well as contract packing of both alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages for its customers. Beverage brands include Score Energy, Fitch and Leeds, Bashu's, and Country Club. The minimum purchase consideration for the entire issued share capital is 450 million rand after deducting net debt of 182 million. The purchase consideration will be settled through a combination of cash and the issue of Long4Life shares. Long4Life share price was 6% higher at 4.70 a share. Chemical company Omnia announced interim results to September that saw revenue decline by 3%, but headline earnings per share rose by 31% to 4.20 a share. The interim dividend was also hiked, rising 25% to 2 rand a share. But the company also announced that it had to restate earnings for the year ending March 2017 due to an error, and this meant that the group's profit after tax for the half year to September 2016 reduced by 34 million rand. The company said the outlook on profitability for agricultural customers remains a concern due to low crop prices driven by excess local production of maize and low crop prices. Omnia's share price is 1% higher at 143 rand a share. Absa Bank announced via a media statement today that it had filed a replying affidavit to the public protector's answering affidavit, in which it argues that the public protector has failed to conduct a fair and unbiased investigation. It provides a number of reasons for getting to this conclusion and asks that the remedial action in the public protector's report is reviewed and set aside, and the public protector pay Absa's legal costs. That all has to do with the Absa Bancorp lifeboat. Ital Tile announced just before the close yesterday the results of its partially underwritten rights offer. The company said that 98.92% of the 137 million rights offer shares were subscribed for. Ital Tile's share price is 1% higher at 12 rand a share. Those are the headlines in the markets today. When we come back, we'll be getting Chris Gilmore's thoughts on those. Okay, the All Share Index roughly flat at 60,141 points. Industrials are having a good day, up 0.33%. Financials are up 0.25%. Gold mining is up 2%. And resources are leading the losses, 1.4% weaker. We're going to have a little check-in with the currency, which had a massive rally yesterday after the market opened and digested the news of the downgrade. I think it probably had more to do with President Zuma indicating that they're going to be fiscally responsible when it comes to the tertiary education and the funding of poor and low-income students. The rand is currently trading at 13 rand 80. It's made up 2.4% against the US dollar. It's up well over 2% against the pound, where it's trading at 18 rand 31. And against the euro, also making very big gains, almost up 3% to trade at 16 rand 40. The gold price is slowly edging up towards that $1,300 an ounce level. It's currently trading at $1,293. Platinum is up 1.3% to $947. And palladium up 0.25% to $1,002. Very interesting to see that rand. Joining me now is Chris Gilmore. Good to have you with us, Chris.
Good to be here, Warren.
Are you a shareholder in Long4Life?
No, but it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, when I saw that this morning, Chill, I thought to myself, this looks like it could be going very much the kind of bid vest route. You know, in the sense that there it's in beverage packaging and stuff like that. So, you know, okay, you've got sorbet in there and a couple of other things. But nevertheless, it's something that I would not have thought would have gone in there naturally with the original sorbet and stuff. So, look, this is absolutely fascinating. Good market to be in. And, you know, with the guiding hand of guru Brian Joffe, you know, how can they go wrong?
What is the overarching strategy in that business?
I'm not sure. I really am not sure.
Is that what the problem is?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's, I mean, here you have in the one case you've got sorbet, which, and I don't know if you've ever gone and partaken of any of the services. I once had a facial there a few years ago, and it was fantastic. They're not cheap, not shy with the prices, but very, very good and of a consistent quality. No problems with that. And they were going to list a couple of years ago, but obviously they were talked out of it, and they're part of this kind of big conglomerate now. But it would be nice to get some sort of thread running through it. You know, sometimes even with Bidvest, it was difficult to see the thread that was running through it because you had some quite diverse businesses in there as well. Although when they finally unbundled Bidcorp, there was probably a bit more streamlining coming through. So, but long for life, to answer your question, no, I can't see really any thread at all. I think really what they're looking for is businesses that they perceive to have great long-term value, regardless of which industry they're in.
Huh, that's very interesting. Sorbet is certainly one product I've sent many a mother and mother-in-law to for Christmas and Mother's Day. But I think you just back the jockey in these circumstances. It's like PSG, whatever PSG invests in, you buy.
I think so. I mean, really, Brian Joffe really has got the Midas touch. He is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, this is a new, I mean, this is long for life. He's got a new lease on life, I think. And, you know, he's freed up from the big corporate world. And now he's doing what he always loved doing, is going out, finding good entrepreneurial companies and making bids for them.
Is he a material shareholder in that business?
As far as I'm aware, yes. I mean, it's changed a bit. I mean, originally he had Kevin
Hedewick.
Yeah. But that, he's no longer part of it, from what I can see. But I don't know the exact shareholding, but I mean, I would imagine he's a big shareholder on this one, yeah.
Just turning our attention to Omnia, I just wanted to ask if what we're seeing here with a business where its revenues are going backwards, but its headline earnings up enormously. I remember they went to the market a few years ago to build a new plant. Is this the fruits that we're seeing as they're able to extract better margins out of their assets, which has led to this result that we've seen today?
Warren, I think it could be. One that I don't look at that closely, but you're quite right. A margin expansion there, selling perhaps different product mixes has changed. Also bear in mind that you're taking the comparison from a restated 2016 figure, which probably makes it look a bit better than it otherwise would be. But nevertheless, you know, this has always been a company that has been regarded as pretty high quality. It's an interesting areas of the market. You know, you're talking about agriculture, you're talking about mining and the chemicals sector. And if you look at its erstwhile competitor, AECI, it's largely moving out of all of those areas and going into very, very different areas now. So Omnia is sticking much to the knitting. And in tough times like this, that's a phenomenally good result.
I think it certainly has justified a premium given the returns that it has generated. So interesting to see how that pans out. But obviously, I'm just going to have a little look at the share price here. When investors start hearing about earnings being restated to the downside, what action should investors take? I mean, this is a high-quality company, but
yeah.
How do you get that wrong?
I don't know. I mean, because you said there was an error, and you think, well, you know, heads have got to roll somewhere for making big errors like that, which because that's meaningful. How you do it in practice, I don't know. I mean, that the mind boggles.
I mean, that's really where the big shareholder needs to step in and say, what exactly was going on here?
What actually happened? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have to ask the auditors. You know, I mean, this was presumably audited,
and it was material.
Yeah. So you know, what was going on? Then you have to ask the question, who were the auditors?
Well, there's one name I don't want to see there, Chris. There's one name I don't want to see.
Does it begin with a K?
I'm not sure. I'm not going to speculate. but we will look into that and see if we can get someone from Omnia to speak to us. Just a little bit surprised about that. Just your thoughts on the downgrade and the market's reaction yesterday. It indicated, I mean, we were all priced in, or was there something else going on?
Do you know, I put a little note out last week and I said, if we get a situation where we don't get the double whammy, so to speak, in other words, we don't get the downgrade from both Moody's and S&P, then I suspect we can probably expect a little bit of some sort of a relief rally of sorts. And that's kind of what we've got. If you also bear in mind the great economist John Maynard Keynes, he was a very successful investor in his own right, but he formulated a thing called the beauty contest theory of investing. And he basically said, look, don't try and work out what's actually going to happen yourself. Rather look in the face of the judges. And if you can work out who they're going to pick, go with that. Now, relating this back to your question, you know, if enough people reckon that there's going to be some sort of relief rally because things aren't as bad as they was initially perceived, then, you know, they go with the flow. So you got the Rand going stronger, you got the bond market and really not blowing out the way I thought it might have. So they're kind of following this herd pattern. I don't think it's going to last, particularly when the harsh reality sinks in that the likelihood is that we're going to get booted out of the WGBI, the World Government Bond Index, come early March, once that 90-day stay of execution from Moody's expires. Because, frankly, 90 days is not long enough to formulate a new strategy of sorts, to formulate a plan. And no matter what the President Zuma has to say about sending out edicts, we must get some sort of growth plan. Too late, she cried. We should have been doing this an awful long time ago. So I suspect we are going to get the double downgrade. And look, we must enjoy it while it happens. But frankly, I don't think it's going to last.
I think one thing I did like yesterday was that finally, I mean, my kind of understanding or my impression from Minister Gigaba's medium-term budget policy speech was that he was very good at diagnosing what the problem was, but he didn't offer anything, and that's why we saw the reaction from the market that we got. But yesterday they came out and said, I think that they were going to be looking to cut, I think it was 25 billion rand in government expenditure, and then raise taxes to the tune of 15. That gets us to 40, which is concrete and numbers that the market likes. Where they're going to cut and how they're going to raise, they're talking about perhaps a VAT on petrol coming back in, is unclear. But at least there was some political will to with some detail that would deal with that. What was even more surprising about that reaction, I found, though, was that Moody's essentially say they're going to downgrade us. They're going to wait 30 days. What do you think they are looking for in the next 90 days that might give us might avoid that scenario?
Warren, two things. One, the ANC's elective conference between the 16th and the 20th of December. If you get a candidate that is perceived to be business friendly.
As Cyril Ramaphosa is?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, there's only one candidate that would fit the bill here. If Cyril is elected, I think that would be phenomenally positive from a ratings perspective. Secondly, in the national budget come February, if we get something innovative, if we get something that demonstrates that Minister Gigaba has been applying his mind, that gets South Africa back on a more of a growth path, albeit slim, you know, better than it currently is. Because that's really what the ratings agencies have been homing in on, is the lack of growth. And if we don't have growth, then we're going to stumble along at 0.5, 0.6, 0.7% for the next few years. And that is going to result eventually in major social unrest. And it's going to result probably in South Africa at some point in time in the next few years going crawling to the IMF for a bailout. So, you know, growth is imperative in all of this. And it's difficult to see where it's coming from with many of the policies that have been put in place. So we need a plan. We've got a plan that's gathering dust in the office of the presidency. It's called the National Development Plan. It's put together by Trevor Manuel some years ago, and there's lots of good stuff in that. You know, if we could just get down and start applying some of this in a concrete manner, and letting people see, I'm talking about the ratings agencies here, that we're really serious about this and not just coming, as you say, well, guys, here's the plan, here's the MTBPS, we're going to hit 60% debt to GDP in the next few years, and we're going to see the budget deficit ballooning out from 3.1 to 4.3 forecast, but we're going to do nothing about it. No, that's not the message you've got to send out. If you can send out positive, proper messages with some concrete actions therein, then I think there's a slim chance we could avert it.
Just very quickly, you made some interesting comments off air about what was happening in Zimbabwe, and certainly we as MoneyWeb are very interested there, because I'm sure there's some big South African investors that would be very keen to go and plough more money in there. I mean, we know that Implats owns a fantastic mine in Zimbabwe. I think Sibanye have an operation themselves. This is a man that has been thick with the Mugabe regime for the entire 37 years. But tell us what you are learning about what's going on the ground there.
Yeah, I mean, some people have said it's just like the snake shedding its skin. And in many ways, it's true. I mean, he's got an appalling track record in human rights in terms of the incursions into Matabele land in the early 80s with the 5th Brigade and stuff like that. But nevertheless, I think it's probably fair to say that Emmerson Mnangagwa is also a pragmatist. And at this point in time, with the economy in ruins, with 95% unemployment, the only way forward is up. And I think it's probably safe to bet that there are many, many investors sitting on the sidelines in this country, in the UK, in America, in Europe, just waiting to pour money into Zimbabwe, provided that you get a very different path politically and economically that's been the case up until now. And I have on good authority that he's now looking at trying to get some of those very productive white farmers back onto the land again. In what way, shape or form, I have no idea. But if you can get food productivity, well, just food being grown again in Zimbabwe, that makes a huge difference. And that can happen virtually overnight. I mean, the fertility of their soil is just
incredible,
unbelievable, way ahead of anything in South Africa. So, you know, I think one mustn't get negative about what's going on. I think one should really be very, very positive about Zimbabwe. But, of course, we have to wait and see, and actions speak louder than words, and let's see what Mr. Mnangagwa has to say and do in the next few weeks.
Well, absolutely. I think that country's greatest endowment is its people, and it'd be interesting to see if they start really liberalizing and opening that economy up. The expats around the world might consider their options in the country better, and that would take them, that would be incredible. So very interesting. We'll see if we can get some of the hierarchy in that Zimbabwean government to come and have an interview with us. I think there'll be a lot of people very interested to hear what opportunities there will be for business to invest in Zimbabwe. But Chris, as always, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure.
We look forward to speaking to you again, and that brings us to the end of the show for today. And that brings us to the end of the show today. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow. Remember, you can catch the replay at 12:45, as well as all our podcasts are available on the MoneyWeb platform. Cheers for now.